Good morning. It is good to be in God's house this morning and good to see each of you here, even when we have a lot of people who are absent because of illness and other problems. It is still very good to be able to gather and to worship and to look into God's Word and see the things that we need for our lives. This morning, I want us to look at, again, we're continuing Maslow's hierarchy of needs, and I think we have the graphic for that. Is that? There we go. So, Maslow was not a Christian theologian by any stretch of the imagination. In fact, he was a sociologist or psychologist, probably more of a humanist and that sort of thing, but he is considered to be the leading father, I guess you would say, of what we consider this body of knowledge and psychology and what people need and what's inside of all of us. And so I want us to look at what he had to say, his hierarchy, and see how that applies to being a child of God, to being a Christian. I think there are a lot of similarities here, probably not intended, but there is a lot of direction toward Christianity in what he has had to say. And so last week, we looked at, first of all, the physiological need, being able to have air to drink, air to breathe, water to drink, food to eat, all of those kind of basic kind of needs. And then second to that is safety needs, to feel like you are secure and that you're not about to die or something bad is about to happen. We talked a lot last week about how people sometimes have a false sense of security, and they feel like at times they're safe when they really are not. If we look out in our world, things can happen so rapidly, and life is such a fragile thing that feeling like we are safe is kind of an illusion, at least in this physical world. Spiritually, in Christianity, being a child of God, we have real safety. We have real security that you cannot get by just being a live person here with wealth or strength or whatever else. This morning, I want us to take the next step up that ladder. That is love and belonging. Everyone has a fundamental need to belong and to be loved. It isn't something that we just want. We have that need in us. I think one of the most interesting things to look at in this is that after the basic kind of something to eat, air to breathe, and the feeling like I'm not about to be killed, our next greatest need is the need to belong and the need to love and be loved. That is a universal need of everyone on earth. We all need to belong. One of the interesting things here is what's not there. What we don't see in this hierarchy of needs. Nowhere does it say human beings need to have wealth and fame. We don't need to be rich and famous. It's all what we're kind of working for, I guess. Everybody wants to acquire a lot of money, and we want to have a lot of power. We want to be famous. We don't need that. And in fact, if we look at examples of people, you will see that some of the most miserable people on earth are people who have a lot of money and who are very famous. We saw this week where Elvis Presley's daughter passed away at an early age. And I thought, you know, such a sad thing. She had so much money and so much fame and so much of everything. And yet, if you look at her life, she was miserable so much of her life. And so was Elvis, as far as that goes. Fame and that wealth and that all of that attention did not give them what they needed. What they really needed, what you and I really need, is we need to belong and we need to love. We like the idea of rugged individualism. You know, we talk about the mountain man living out there by himself and being strong and this and that. Or we talk about the cowboy riding across the range with nothing but his pony and his rifle. Some of those images are popular. Those are not happy people. The mountain men died at a very early age and by and large had a lot of mental issues. Cowboys were much the same way. That doesn't make you happy to be an individual person. You know, Sinatra always sang the song, "I did it my way. I stood alone and I was able and I, you know, through it all, I did it my way." And that is a recipe for being miserable. You don't need to do it your way. You don't need to be some rugged, strong individualist. You need to belong. You need to be loved, and you need to love other people. In Acts chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. During the 50 days," and that's what Pentecost means, is 50, "during the 50 days between the crucifixion of Jesus that occurred during Passover and the day of Pentecost, the disciples went through the process of becoming a cohesive unit, of becoming the church. And on the day of Pentecost, the church was born. They became a group. They became a unit. It is important for us to understand that if we are to be successful as a church, we will have to become a very strong, cohesive unit. We will have to become family. When we first felt led to start this church, a lot of praying, a lot of fasting, actually, a lot of time spent in reflection, and I'll be just as honest as I can be, a lot of time spent thinking, is this going to work or are we going to fail? And I remember, as kind of as a side note, reaching a point where I said, in my life I've failed so many times, it's unbelievable, business-wise and otherwise. I'm not afraid of failing. I am afraid to stand before God and say I wouldn't try. And so that's kind of where we came down to this. But after a lot of prayer, after fasting, after giving it a great deal of thought, we sat down, Becky and I, one night and said, what would we name this? And it became apparent immediately the only name for the church could be Family of Faith. We are family. And we want, and I believe God wants, this church to be a cohesive family of believers, a group of people who love one another, a place where you belong, a place where I belong, a place where we are solid together. I'll tell you a secret that I think many people don't know. Family is not genetic. Family is not biological. Family is spiritual. It is a much different thing. I have, or had, she has passed away now, I had a double cousin. And no, you don't have to be from Arkansas to have a double cousin. But I have a double cousin, or had one. My father's brother married my mother's sister. And so as a result, their offspring was my double cousin. We carry much the same genetics, right? I never knew her. She lived in California, and then they lived in Tennessee. And my entire life, I met her a few times, but I didn't know that person. The genetics did not matter. She was never someone that I considered family because I didn't know her. I have a number of family members that I have known, been acquainted with. Some of them I've gotten along with, some I haven't. But a lot of those I don't really consider family because just being genetically linked or biologically linked does not make us family. family. So what does? What makes this thing that we call family? It is relationship. It is a spiritual bond. It is that we belong to each other. We belong. You know, when you come into this church, I want you to feel that you belong. When I walk into this church, I love that I feel like I belong here. It's not my church. I don't own it. I can't claim that I'm the one that is boss of it and this or that. It is God's church. It is your church. It is all of ours church. And if I ever reach a point where I am not serving the church as pastor and as head, as part of it, then I hope, I pray that I move on, that God takes me on or puts me somewhere else, because this is family, and it is more important than I am, and it is more important than you are. I remember one time in a different church years ago, had a man that was just unhappy. I mean, I felt sorry for him because he was always unhappy. He and his wife didn't get along. He didn't get along with his children. He didn't get along with his neighbor. In fact, they were in lawsuits. He was just a very unhappy person. And he came to church one day and demanded certain things. You're going to do this, 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 and this. And so I talked to some of the trustees, and I said, I don't think we need to do this, 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 and this. And they agreed. They didn't either. And so we told him, no, we're not going to do it. He said, you're going to miss the $50 a month I put in the tithes. I thought, no, we're not. You know, it's not about the amount of money that you place in the plate. And Lord knows, I love to give to the church, and I love to see people pay tithes into the church, because that is something that God requires of us, and it does something very good for us. But never, ever get the feeling that if I don't do it, if I don't pay tithes, if I don't go visiting, if I don't do it, God's just washed up. He needs me. God does not need you, and He does not need me. I have the privilege of being part of His church. I have the privilege of belonging to His church. I cannot express the magnitude of what it means to belong. Can you, if we think for just a moment, can you picture in your mind in Noah's day when it started raining and people realized, you know, Noah was right building the ark. That's the only way that we're going to survive. What was it worth to belong to that family that was in that ark? It was worth a lot, right? I mean, there is that, I don't know, whatever you call it, meme, cartoon, whatever, that says don't fight. Avoid fighting at all cost. But if you must fight like you're the third ape on the ramp to Noah's ark, and brother, it's beginning to rain. There is some value to being in that group. That's nothing compared to the value of being a member of God's church. See, it's wonderful on Wednesday nights when we meet, or Sunday mornings when we meet, and we sit down together and we visit with each other. We talk at least for a little while, and then during the off times we're able to talk. It's great to do that. And I understand that, but think for just a moment. We're not just a member of a societal program. We're not just a member of a club. We're a members of God's church, and we belong. That's amazing. That is tremendous to me. It is important always that we belong to something greater than ourselves for a couple of reasons. One is safety and protection. an individual alone will likely fall prey to their own vain imagination. I begin to think of myself as something that I am not, and I need to have people around me that will keep me grounded, that will tell me I'm not everything that I begin to imagine that I am. Best way to do that is get married. I guarantee you they'll bring you down when you need it, right? I jest. It is important that we have people around us that will be honest with us and that will protect us. It is important to be part of something larger than ourselves to keep us away from the filth of this world. I see young people that are by themselves way too much of the time, and they're left alone with nothing but this device, this phone thing, and they play games on it, and they interact with people on it, and they fall prey, they fall victim to some bad actors on there. I read this last week in a reputable news article that by the time a child is 12 years old, the average child by the time they're 12 years old, they have been subject to pornography on their telephones. It's there. And teenagers are going to see that, and they're going to be attracted to that. I mean, human nature being what it is, and it's going to distort their mind. It's going to create problems. A child alone is easy prey to the filth of this world. That's why there are parents. That's why there is mom and dad. You're responsible to take care of those children, but so are we all as a church. We're responsible to love them, to care for them, to bring them in, to raise them. Growing up, if I did something wrong, there were so many people that knew about it and would call me on it. It was unbelievable. My parents had primary responsibility for me, and that's the way it should have been. But if I were misbehaving, I guarantee you the party line in Fish Valley, Arkansas would get hot, and my mom and dad would know about it before I got home. That's just the way it worked. I'm thankful I had that group there to support me and to care for me. You and I need to belong to something greater than ourselves for success. You know, there are things that I can do alone, but there are so much more that we can accomplish together. An individual person will never be as strong as a group of people if they're all working and pulling and going in the same direction. That's why on the day of Pentecost, they were gathered in one room and in one accord. Sometimes I think that may have been the last time that's happened in church. I'm going to tell you something, though. If we can get there, if we as a church can get together where we agree, where we realize that our differences are very small and our goals are very great. If we can reach that point and work together, we can accomplish great things right here in Sherman, Texas. I believe we already have. We have moved from a group literally of 10 people to a building that we had rented that would go 15 and every great once in a while 20 to this wonderful facility we now have, and there are more people coming and more people involved, and we have impacted people's lives. Membership in the family of God is important in that it allows us to accomplish things that we could never accomplish on our own. I could preach the most wonderful sermons you can imagine. Not that I ever will, but I could. And if I did and were by myself, they would do nothing. Our musicians could play the most beautiful music in the world, but if they were by themselves and no one heard it, it would accomplish nothing. But together, we can worship. Together, we can work together. We can hold each other up. We can support each other. And we can move forward. There are a couple of things about membership in God's church that I think are important. One, membership in the family of God is not a right. It is a privilege. Let me say that again. Membership in the family of God is not a right. It is a privilege. I have the privilege of being a Christian. I don't have the right. I can't say, I want to be a Christian, therefore I demand that God hear me. I demand that God forgive me. I demand that God clean me up and make me a Christian. I don't have the right to do that. When I come to God, I must come on my knees and ask humbly, please forgive my sin. Please save my soul. Please make me a Christian. Please show me your will and give me the faith and grace to do that. I must ask for it because it isn't something that I have a right to. It isn't something that is ingrained in me. It is a privilege that God gives me. I think sometimes we all fail to understand that. I need to be part of God's church. I need to be part of this church much, much more than God needs me to be a part. I love Psalms 84:10. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand, and I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. The second thing we need to understand about being a part of God's church, of His family, is that to be part of God's family, you must be born again. You know, you can be a part of this church without being born again. If you tell me I believe in Jesus and that I am a Christian, we'll welcome you. I don't know your heart and I can't see. And I'm not going to try to get in the business of saying, well, I think this one's born again, but I don't think this one is. I can't do that. And neither can anybody else in this building. But God can. And you may fool me, and you may fool half the world, but you will never be a part of the family of God until you've been born again. When Nicodemus came to Jesus, he said, Lord, we know you're some great teacher, and we understand this and that, and he was going to start expounding greatly, and Jesus stopped him and just said, Nicodemus, you must be born again. End of sentence. We must be born again. It is a mission of this church to see everyone accomplish everything that they possibly can, to live their best life, to be their best life. But to do that, you must first have a real relationship with God. And if you don't have that, the rest of it becomes just a social meeting. God's church must walk a fine line. It must at the same time be inclusive and be exclusive. And that's a difficult thing. I don't think we can accomplish that individually. God can. We must include everyone that we possibly can. We need to reach out to every person. And I will do that. I pledge to do that to the very best of my ability. I hope that if anyone I have known or am in contact with as a minister or part of this church, I hope that every one of them will eventually become Christian, and I'll do everything in my power to see that happen. We have to be inclusive. I know there are churches that say, well, We don't want part of the LGBT community coming to our church. Well, we do. There'll be people who say, well, I don't want people who have been involved in drugs and this and that coming to our church. Well, we do. I don't want them staying in that condition. We need to include everyone, but at the same time, we must stand up and say sin is sin and be very clear and be very plain about that. I believe and have always believed. I was taught this as a child. If people come to church and they hear the gospel of Jesus Christ preached plainly and clearly, one of two things will happen. They will change or they'll get away. We won't sit there and hear the gospel on an ongoing basis without it having an impact on our lives. And that's true for me, and it's true for you. I have to change when I hear the gospel of Jesus. When I read my Bible, when we go through the studies, when we go to church and have service, and I preach to myself as much as you, when I walk out of here, I have to change who I am or get away from church, because I can't do the two at the same time. I must make myself subject to the gospel of Jesus. There are a few things that we can do as a church. And this gets back to the first part of that hierarchy. That is to love. It is great to belong. It is great to have membership. But it means nothing unless inside of me and inside of you, we genuinely have the love of God in our lives. Three things that we can do in order to be a success as a church. One, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, with all your mind. Two, love your neighbor as yourself. And three, love your fellow church members. I want to love God. To do that, I have to step away from myself occasionally. I have to sacrifice what I want for what God wants. I have to say, Lord, not my will, but thy will be done. I want to love my neighbor as much as I love myself. That's even more difficult, isn't it? To love other people as much as we love ourselves, because I love myself. I think a great deal of myself, and so do you. But we need to learn to love other people just as much as we love ourselves and love our church members. You know, there is a reason that militaries put soldiers together in units, in squads, in organized groups, because that way they can watch each other's back. That way they can support each other. And that way they learn to be loyal to each other, they learn to defend each other, they learn to stand up for each other. Well, in the same way as a church, we are a unit. We are part of a group. And it is important that I learn to love you as a part of my group. If I hear someone talking about a church member, I pledge to you, I promise to you, not only will I not do it myself, I will stop them. I'm not going to listen to people tell lies about you. I hope you do the same for me. If we do that, if we get to a point where we have each other's back, where we support each other. Now, I may tell you to your face, I think what you're doing is not right, but I'm not going to go out here on the street and tell everybody else that. See, that's not supporting you as a part of this unit. And I hope and I pray you do the same with me. Philippians 4:4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. I want us to end today by focusing not on the message as much as the sheer reality that we have membership in God's family. Think about that for a moment. I can remember, as I'm sure you can, my own family, my childhood. I remember Mom and Dad, and I remember being a part of that and loving them so very, very much. They're both gone now. That is the nature of this world. That couldn't last. But God's family does. I belong, and so do you. Thank God, I belong, and so do you. Please stand, for our musicians will come.